morning.
Good morning.
And Happy New Year to you. It's my first Sunday back from since the beginning of the year. And if you looked at the bulletin, you'll see, oh, we got the wrong date. Well, no, we're conserving on paper and toner in the copier that we are. It was what was planned for last Sunday, but Mother Nature had other ideas, and the city of Malden had a parking ban in effect. Of course, they lifted it at 9 o'clock that morning, but if they had let us know that ahead of time, we might have met. But anyways, we did not meet last Sunday, so it's good to have you here today as we do gather for worship. We are going to be celebrating the Lord's Supper, which was planned for last Sunday as well, because I was not here on the 1st, and it was New Year's Day. So, but it is it's nice to celebrate the Lord's Supper during the middle of the month instead of the beginning of the month. So we'll be doing that today as part of our service. But it is good to have you here today. There is a lavender-colored insert in the bulletin today, and this is this week's information, so disregard the calendar that's printed on the inside back page, because that's last week's. So you can look at what we did last week if you want to, but this is the coming week for January 15th. So the mission board is meeting today, and the deacons are meeting next Sunday, which if you look at it, deacons were supposed to meet last week, but anyways. You'll also note that we have our monthly worship service at the Glen Ridge Nursing Center on Tuesday and feeding ministry on Friday, and we'll be having our regular menu and we'll need cakes on Friday. I realized the reminder I sent out earlier this week did not have that we needed cakes, so we do need cakes on Friday for feeding ministry. Also, you will note underneath the calendar listed there that our annual meeting will be on Sunday, February 5th. We'll be having a soup lunch immediately after the service downstairs in Social Hall, and then our annual business meeting. You'll also note that we will be receiving the Super Bowl of Caring offering during or after the service, between the service and lunch that day. And the mission board will determine this afternoon who the recipient of that offering will be, and we'll announce that next week. You'll note on the reverse side of the lavender page is some information about the retired ministers and missionaries offering. You may have noticed M&M's decorations around, and that is, you know, sort of the logo we use for the retired ministers and missionaries offering. And that is our one of our four annual American Baptist Mission offerings that we receive during the year. And a letter has gone out. I understand it did not arrive in people's homes yet, but it should arrive Tuesday, because Monday's a holiday, so it should arrive by Tuesday, hopefully. But we are receiving gifts to that. And so that's some information about that. But reversing back on the bottom, if you did not hear from us last weekend, or you don't hear from me periodically with announcements about the church, that means we don't have your information, or we don't have updated information. So if you don't think we have the correct information, please fill out that and give it to us so that we can be in contact with you. We're not going to sell it, give it to anybody else. It's just in-house information so that we can be in contact with you if we have a snowstorm or if somebody passes away or whatever, that we feel we need to contact the church family in a more immediate way. You may have noticed out in the hallway the offering envelopes on the table. If you have not picked yours up yet, there are boxes of offering envelopes for those who have previously had envelopes. If you don't see envelopes there for you and would like offering envelopes for the year, please speak with Mr. Richard Freeman, who is also the choir director but also our collector and bookkeeper. He would be happy to get you some offering envelopes. So, I think that's it for announcements. So as our call to worship this day, the wise men. Oh yeah, and we're sort of transitioning from Christmas to Epiphany, and so this is what I'd planned for Epiphany Sunday, which was last Sunday. So the tree is still up, so we still have some Christmas decorations. So we're holding on to Christmas a little longer. So the wise men came from many places following a star. We come to worship, and the star sheds light on our lives. The wise men brought gifts to offer the child. We too bring gifts, ourselves, our hopes, and our dreams. Shepherds and wise men, the meek and the mighty, all were welcome in Bethlehem. We too come to Bethlehem and then return to our homes rejoicing. So let us gather from our personal journeys and worship together. Our opening hymn is As With Gladness Men of Old, number 200 in the hymnal. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, help us to be as persistent in our dedication as the wise men of old who sought out the Christ child. As we bow in reverence before you, please receive our expressions of gratitude for Christ, for life, for family, for friends, and for the privilege of worshiping you. We ask this in Jesus' name and now pray as he taught, praying aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Smith, you're teaching today? Okay, so students and teacher may leave if they would like to for Sunday school. We have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer this morning. We want to keep Mark Fox in prayer. Mark was hospitalized last weekend with pneumonia, but he is out, and he and Donnie were planning to leave for Florida either today or tomorrow. Last I spoke, they weren't sure which day, but he was feeling much better and doing much better. So I want to keep the Fox in prayer. We also want to keep the Huddies in prayer as they're preparing to leave for Hawaii this week to be with Chuck's mom for several weeks. So we want to keep both those families in prayer. We also want to, the last Sunday, Andy had asked for prayers for your family, the Senate family, for John and Christina and Thaddeus and other families at their church that were being dedicated. They were dedicated. I think there were six families, I think, he told me. And now Jose mentioned this week, too, there were a lot of crime and a lot of children in the congregation. But it's a wonderful time. So we want to remember the families that have brought children, and not just in that church, but across our globe, parents that have brought children to the Lord to be dedicated. We want to lift them up and pray for families today that have young children. Also, we want to pray for our country as we have a change of presidency this week, and we want to pray for President-elect Trump as he becomes President Trump and his new administration, as well as tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and we do want to remember his ministry and the all that he stood for, and things that we still struggle with society with today, and lift those up today as well. So do you have any requests for prayer, either celebrations or concerns? Meryl?
I have two concerns, actually. One is my friend Judy, who is having a balance issue, and she is being treated with therapy and things, so she is doing somewhat better. The other is a good friend has a friend that just has been diagnosed with brain cancer, and she's really just... My friend Carol has lupus, and to have that news, is, although she's doing very well, it's going to be very stressful for her, too, and she's taking it quite badly.
Okay.
The woman's name is Marlene.
So I keep Judy and Marlene in prayer today. Richard?
I have two, and they're both celebrations. My daughter Gail, my youngest daughter, became engaged last Sunday, which is thrilling for us. And my wife had a birthday this week.
Oh.
They had a birthday on Wednesday. We celebrated with some of our friends.
That's nice. Well, nice celebrations. Yes. It's up to you, Alicia.
I was done. I have good celebration for Midland, who just got his work permit.
Oh, wonderful.
So now he's moving from the shadows coming out to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And for Elizabeth, that just announced to me as I'm leaving the house that she'll be walking the runway in London. So So for the young people in the family, I'm saying, thank God for good news.
Good. Celebrations. Great that you have working papers now. Barbara?
I just wanted to give you an update on David. He's doing okay. He was on a medication called Opdivo, but unfortunately, there's a side effect that makes it impossible for him to take it. So they're going to be giving him a new one on starting Thursday, so we'll see. At the moment, he feels okay, but he's very tired most of the time. So.
Okay.
So
well, David and Barbara as caregiver.
You know, I also have sciatica, so tomorrow I'm starting physical therapy.
Okay. Anyone else have a prayer request?
I have moved to Manchester at the end of this month because my wife got a new job in Manchester.
So you're moving to Manchester?
Yes.
Farther and farther away.
Maybe next time we move to Canada.
So Stephen, but it's good that your wife got a new job. So that's the celebration. And so we will be to Manchester at the end of the month? At the end of the month. So you're closer for more.
Yeah.
All right, so that's a celebration for your family. We want to continue to keep your family in prayer for your sons and immigration status, and just pray that someday that you will be able to be reunited with your children. Anyone else have a prayer? Jim?
We celebrated our 60th wedding anniversary.
While you were away?
Yeah.
So that's nice. 60 years together is a long time. Very nice. So that is a celebration as well. Anyone else have a prayer request today? If not, then let's go to God. Lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving and gracious God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together today to worship you, to spend these moments in conversation with you. Lord, we know that oftentimes our prayers are one way, that we unload on you, but then we don't take the time to be still and wait upon your Spirit to be with us. And Lord, we just thank you for these moments that we have of quietness, of reflection, of conversation. And Lord, we have heard many requests for prayer today. We pray for those who are ill and injured. We just pray for healing in their lives according to your will for them. Lord, we celebrate with those who have transitions in their lives, whether it's new jobs, new opportunities to work, birthdays, anniversaries. Lord, we just thank you for these milestones in our lives and the opportunity to be useful and be able to put our minds and our bodies to work and to earn income that helps us to exist and to survive. Lord, we just pray, though, that we do not get so wrapped up in material possessions that we lose sight of what you call us to do in the intangible ways, the ways of reaching out, and not necessarily with money or with tangible things, but with our time and our energy. Lord, this day we are mindful of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and his ministry of promoting racial justice and equality. And Lord, we still see that there are inequalities in our society. And we pray, O God, that our eyes may be open to that we may have the courage and the strength to stand up when we see that these things are not right, that we may speak out for those things and pray and work with those people that are working for justice and for peaceful resolution to our differences. Lord, we pray for those who are traveling this week. We know several that are going for extended vacations or trips, and just pray for traveling mercies to be with them. We also pray, O God, for our country as we have a peaceful transition of power from one president to the next. And Lord, we pray that this may be a time of showing the world that it, you know, differences can be put aside, that there can be a transition of power when there are so many things that are so different between these two leaders. But we do pray for President-elect Trump as he becomes president and his administration becomes working. And Lord, we just pray for our nation as we, under our new leadership and our new Congress, and Lord, we just pray that there may be great things for our nation to be doing in the future. We just pray, oh God, that if there is some way that we may help our nation, that or our local communities, that we may do that. For Lord, we know that you empower us and encourage us to not be sitting by the roadside, but to be involved in society, to share our faith, and to live our faith each of our days. Lord, we just pray that we may be able to do that, that we may be a shining example of Jesus' love for others in a hurting world. And we ask this all in his name. Amen.
Amen.
On the Sundays when we celebrate communion, we also receive two different offerings. And this first offering that we're about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. So at this time, the ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts.
Thank you.
pray together. Lord, you are our shepherd, and we pray that you would guide us in all of our activities and all of our thoughts and plans. And Lord, as we present these tithes and gifts to you, we ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ, our gentle shepherd. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Seated. Don't put your hymnal away, though, because our scripture is responsive today. Selection number 201. We'll find our scripture for today. And basically, we've just sung the scripture story that we're going to be reading now from Matthew's Gospel and a couple of verses out of Luke's Gospel at the end. So I invite you to read responsively from God's Holy Word at selection number 201 and join with me. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him."
When he heard this, he was stirred, and all Jerusalem with him.
When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born.
"In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written."
"But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel."
Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said,
"Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him."
After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them, until it stopped over the place where the child was.
On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him.
Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh.
"My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people.
A light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to our people Israel."
May God bless this reading of God's holy word. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have sung and read together today, familiar words, familiar tunes. Lord, a story that never gets old. Lord, we just pray today that our time together, that there may be a refreshment for us, that we may gain new insight into these familiar words and old story, that we may leave here different people for having been here together through this time of worship. And Lord, we just pray that you would bless this time together. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
No manger scene is complete without the wise men. Imagine a creche without those wise men. Many Sunday school pageants have three boys dressed as kings. Perhaps some of you were that as children. They are usually adorned with crowns, sometimes taken from a fast food restaurant. And they wear velour bathrobes, and they carry a strange collection of bottles and boxes intended to represent the gifts that the Magi carried on their way to the manger, which often, as they're processing in it, they're often accompanied by half-remembered verses of We Three Kings. Tradition even gives the Magi names in many biographies. First is Gaspar, king of Tarsus, brought a small chest filled with frankincense. Melchior, king of Arabia, tradition says, gave gold to the baby Jesus. And Balthazar, king of Ethiopia, came with a flask of myrrh. But what's the significance of this story? In Sunday school, teachers may make the following points: that Jesus is the King of Kings, and that that's why other kings came and honored him. And secondly, that we give presents to one another at Christmas time because we are following the example of the three kings bringing gifts to Jesus. These G-rated renditions of the Christmas story threaten no one's peace of mind, but they are not based on the biblical account of the Magi. For Matthew's gospel calls them wise men. Our translation, I believe, called them Magi, but if you read other translations, they're called wise men, and not kings. They were almost certainly astrologers rather than royalty. The Bible mentions three gifts, but not how many givers there were. You think about it. It just said they came from the east. They saw the star in the east. It doesn't say how many of them were in that caravan. It lists the gifts, and we see three distinct gifts. We don't know for sure how many givers there were, but we've been always attributing one gift to each giver. We do not know their real names, nor where they came from. Tradition has that, which I spoke of a moment ago. But as for the first of the lessons usually derived from the episode, it should be noted that at least one king, King Herod, wanted to kill the baby Jesus rather than worship him. And the reading today, the responsive reading in the hymnal, did not include that part, but saying that Herod had told the other wise men to return to him so that he could go and worship them, worship the child. But when he found out that he had been tricked and they had gone home by another route and not gone back to Herod, he set out an edict to kill all the male children under the age of 2 in that region. So Herod was not happy to hear of the birth of another king. We like this simplistic reading, though, of the story because it makes us feel good. We use the story to justify holiday extravagance. But I want us to get beyond the nostalgia and consumerism that the story of the wise men promotes and consider the actions as it might play out in a contemporary world. The result would be an epiphany that shows forth not only the Christ who came for Jew and non-Jew, but also the real cost of honoring the King of Kings. Those gifts that the wise men brought were listed in Scripture as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very expensive gifts. But the wise men offered greater gifts than these that could not be measured as easily, but were as truly valuable. And those are the gifts I want us to focus on this morning for a couple minutes. First, the wise men gave of their time. One reason the gifts of the Magi are celebrated 12 days after Christmas is to remind us that it took time for the wise men to see the star and then make the way to Jerusalem and to Bethlehem. It took time for them to study Old Testament prophecy concerning the Messiah. It took time to contemplate the significance of this sign in the heavens. And then it took time to figure out the best route in crossing the desert. The stable in Bethlehem was not a 30-minute break in the whirlwind tour of the Holy Land. It wasn't something that just sidestepped by. Oh, let's run over to Bethlehem in a moment. It was a journey. It was a trek. And this trip was not even an event that could be sandwiched in between today's soccer practice and an appointment to the dentist if we're running our kids around. You know, it took time. It took commitment on the wise men's part. But the time is one of the rarest commodities in our society. We never have enough time, and we loathe to commit any more of what we do have. Two career couples speak defensively of spending quality time with their children, even though they may not be able to spend quantity time. Indeed, time is something that we spend. It's a treasure as surely as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." It was not the price of the gifts that gave the wise men a face-to-face encounter with the Son of God. For the shepherds had no earthly presents, no costly presents to take with them, but it was rather the time that they gave to this endeavor that gave the Magi access to the Savior of the world. As the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." In this new year, as we contemplate our discipleship and devotion to Jesus Christ, looking for the greater gifts to bestow upon him, we need to ask ourselves, how much time are we willing to give in order to encounter the King of Kings? The second greater gift of the wise men was their security. Travel was dangerous in the ancient world, and the wilderness was no place to be timid, no place for the timid. There were scorpions and wild animals, and the possibility of getting lost or dying of thirst. Just a few of the natural threats to their safety. Robbers and slave traders were even worse menaces to one's security. There was no GPS to keep them on track, and there were no cell phones to summon help if they got in trouble. The wise men took enormous risks to see the child Redeemer. Their jeopardy became greater when they sought directions from Herod and then failed to report back to him. Life would have been easier and safer if they had stayed home. They could have studied the scriptures and the stars and prayed private prayers of thanksgiving that the King of the Jews had been born. But like the Apostle Paul, they were willing to suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus the Lord. Although it is true that more Christians have been martyred in the last 100 years than in the previous 1900 years combined, very few of us in North American churches have experienced genuine suffering for our faith. How much would we be willing to risk? How much are we willing to risk? The hymn, "Jesus, I My Cross Have Taken," proclaims these words: "Perish every fond ambition, all I've sought or hoped or known. Yet how rich is my condition. God and heaven are still my own." We move on to the third greater gift that the wise men gave, and that was their devotion. When they reached the place where Jesus was staying, Matthew tells us they saw the child, they fell down and worshiped him, and then they opened their treasures and offered him those tangible gifts. Surely that scene is a foretaste of what the writer of Revelation describes: throngs around the throne of God doing the same thing that the Magi did, plus singing hymns of praise. In the beginning of Jesus' life, a sample of humanity, Jews and Gentiles, natives and foreigners, were blessed to see the Lord's face and to worship him. At the culmination of history, all who have sought the Lord Jesus from every time and every place will do the same. The joy of being in Christ's presence will be reward enough. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Perhaps we should say gold, frankincense, and more. That is what the wise men offered Jesus when they offered the greater gifts of time, security, and devotion. In this new year, let us find ways of offering these greater gifts to our Lord and Savior. In exchange, we will receive the best gift of all, our salvation through Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Lord, we are all on journeys, and we pray that our journey, our spiritual journey, will be like that of the wise men, that we will ultimately find Jesus. And Lord, we come, some with empty hands, some with not hands filled with such rarities as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But Lord, we do bring our time, our security, our devotion to you. We pray that you would use those as we worship you and as we share the good news of Jesus with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is "What Child Is This?" number 179. We'll be singing verses 1 and 3 only. And I've been told that those that are using the large print bulletin, the last line of the hymn was omitted. So hopefully you can hum along if you don't know the words. But 179, verses 1 and 3, and let's stand as we sing together.
previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. The second one we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts to the communion offering.
Jesus is the host of the table today, and as the host, he invites each one of us to come and eat and drink with him. And his invitation includes these words asking us, do you love me? Do you believe that I was born, grew up, ministered among the people, died on the cross, paying the price for your sins, was buried, rose again and ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, yes, Lord, I believe, Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not need to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today. For Jesus invites all believers to receive the elements. Let's pray together. Lord, as we approach your table, we realize that we have not earned a seat there. There's not one sitting there right there just saying, oh, they're so good that they just have a guaranteed seat. It's only through your grace and mercy that you welcome us.
where in these moments we confess to you in silence those sins, those errors, those mistakes that we have committed that we are aware of. And we pray for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. And we do truly say we are sorry. And we pray for your forgiveness of us, that you would cleanse our hearts and purify us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we move from the beginning of Jesus' life to about 33 years later. We go from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. In an upper room where Jesus is together with his closest friends. And Jesus knows that his time here on earth is rapidly coming to a close. He wants to share a meal with them that they could then remember him by. And they were celebrating the Passover, a Seder meal, remembering the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus used some of the elements of that meal and gave new meaning for his friends and followers. And Jesus took bread from the table and gave thanks to God for the bread. And after doing so, he began breaking it, and he told them that with these new words, this bread represents my body that's broken for you. As often as you eat this bread, Jesus tells us, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the broken bread. Celebrate Christ coming to earth as a baby in flesh and blood. And during this communion service, we're remembering Jesus in human form as an adult, allowing his body to be broken. This bread represents his body, broken that we might be whole, we might be complete. Let us eat in remembrance of him. As the meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup and said, this cup represents a new covenant between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. And after giving thanks for the cup, he encouraged the disciples to drink from it. And he said, you know, ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Thank you. that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you willingly went to the cross and died for us. We also are grateful, Lord, that you came to earth to be among us. Lord, we just pray that in this new year that we may find opportunities to share that good news with others and to serve you more faithfully. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out. Our closing hymn is We Three Kings. Surprise, surprise. Number 202, verses 1 and 5. We may continue to ask that question as well. Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? Our answer is, he is in us and among us, our risen and reigning Lord. Let us follow his star and serve him always in all of our words and all of our deeds. Amen.
Amen.